After Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling made headlines for some very controversial remarks, his wife told media outlets she worried his behavior might be because he was suffering from dementia.
To be clear, no doctors have diagnosed Sterling with any cognitive disorders, but the situation has sparked a national conversation about aging and the early signs of dementia and Alzheimer's disease.
And we want to hear from you on this topic. Has someone in your life been diagnosed with dementia or Alzheimer's? Did you see early warning signs, or do you worry that a family member or loved one is exhibiting signs, behavior changes, and wondering, is that related to some kind of dementia-related disorder? Call in and share your experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email at talk@WPR.org.
We have two guests from the Alzheimer's Association with us to talk about some of the first signs of dementia and Alzheimer's and how to tell age-related symptoms from general changes. Carrie Patterson is the executive director for the Alzheimer's Association South Central Wisconsin chapter, and Kathleen Albert is the community outreach specialist with the Alzheimer's Association Greater Wisconsin chapter. Carrie, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Kathleen, it's good to have you too.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, Carrie, we're going to start with you. Let's talk about some of the earliest signs of dementia or Alzheimer's. What should we be looking for?
Sure, yeah. The most common changes are usually related to those early memory loss experiences or recent memory loss. So that could be what happened the day previous or maybe even things earlier in the day. As Alzheimer's or a dementia starts to happen in the brain, mental fatigue and frustration can take over, and so some people might have some experiences with those most recent memory loss. When it starts to impact your daily living, your day-to-day habits, your appointments professionally and personally, we do start to get interested if there could be a dementia process happening.
And
but it's not always, it's not always memory loss. There can be some other complications and mood and behavior changes.
And how can we tell the difference between, you know, what happens to everybody saying, you know, I put my keys down, where are they, and what is actually perhaps a symptom of Alzheimer's or dementia?
Sure. Well, I think most cognitively healthy adults are able to sequence and backtrack their processing. So, for example, if you're coming in from your vehicle parked in your driveway and can't find your keys, maybe you'll be able to sequence back and figure out if you came in through your garage or your front door. Where more people with dementia or an Alzheimer's type of a dementia, they might have more challenges figuring out where the keys might have ended up. Are they in their purse? Are they in the bathroom? Did they put them in a consistent location? So they just have challenges with those processes.
And Kathleen, if you see a family member who looks like they might be struggling, I mean, it's a sensitive thing and it's not news that anybody wants to think about, but what should you do?
I think you hit the nail right on the head. It is very sensitive and, you know, it's a very private and a personal thing, and it's very difficult to approach that. And depending on your relationship, I believe honesty is the best policy, to sit someone down in a quiet environment, you know, one-on-one with them, and just express your concerns. Never use the words, I've noticed you're having problems with your memory, or any of those types of things, because people tend to be on the defense if you do that. Use, you know, I'm concerned about your health. I've noticed you're not feeling as well as you used to. I've noticed some changes in your health. And then ask them, you know, have you noticed anything? So get their input as well.
Okay.
It's a place to start.
It's a good place to start. And mm-hmm. what kind of treatment is available? Let's say you go to the doctor, Carrie, and maybe it seems as though there is some early Alzheimer's, early dementia going on. What happens next?
Sure. Well, we have several different memory diagnostic centers in the state of Wisconsin available for families to use as a wonderful resource. They also can work with their private physician, internal medicine physician, to really see maybe they haven't had a quality health exam or a full review outside of maybe a pressing issue, a minor cold or complication, something like that. maybe it's time to dig a little deeper. Sometimes it can be as minor as a vitamin deficiency or a medication adjustment. However, when it is really something that needs to be looked at more in depth, there are memory diagnostic clinics certainly available that we can help with our 24/7 helpline service, help route people to the appropriate location nearest their community. What happens in those reviews is a family member might attend an appointment with the concerned individual. Oftentimes, families can help expedite the process and send some notifications to physicians that I'm sure Kathleen will be able to share some great techniques on that a little bit later. The physician will do a full medical and neurological exam, see if they have any balance issues. Maybe it's a hearing loss that's impacting their response and socialization. We can also challenge people's memory objectively. There's many different tests that people can take. So it's not just a family report saying their behaviors are different, but we can actually see performance issues on neuropsychological exams in these memory diagnostic clinics. Family will interview with a social worker or other team member from a clinic and really provide a history of what's now changed over the recent year or so that's really flagging this appointment. You know, maybe they were very detail-oriented and some of the checkbooks might seem to be a little off, or maybe they were always very good about sending birthday cards or tracking seasonal changes with some social calendars. And maybe they're having more confusion with time or place or all these different minor details in their lives. The physicians will use that social information, the objective information from those memory tests, and really perform a very detailed interview with that particular individual. Sometimes they might need more. They might need more brain imaging. MRIs can be very common. We can see structural changes in the brain. The actual volume of the brain does change. This is a disease, and not a lot of people know that. A lot of people think this is just part of the aging process, which it is not.
We're talking right now about the early signs of dementia and Alzheimer's and what families can do and kind of what happens in the diagnostic process right now, talking about how to tell the difference maybe between normal age-related behavioral changes and Alzheimer's and dementia-related changes. We've got two guests with us from the Alzheimer's Association. And we're taking your calls next. Has someone in your life been diagnosed with dementia or Alzheimer's? And what were some of the early warning signs? Are you concerned that a family member or a loved one is maybe showing some of the signs that we're hearing about? You can call and share your experiences, your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're picking up our discussion now on the early symptoms of dementia and Alzheimer's with Carrie Patterson and Kathleen Albert from the Alzheimer's Association. And we're also taking your calls right now. How has this affected your life? Has someone in your life been diagnosed with dementia or Alzheimer's? And what were some of the things that you first noticed? And what did you do about it? What helped as a strategy for coping? You can call us with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to talk@wpr.org. And we're going to go to the phones now and take a caller from Madison. Linda's on the line. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. So what do you think about the topic? What have you noticed?
So first of all, I want to thank you very much for bringing these things up. It's great to share this with other people and hear what other people's issues have been. Mine, one of the first indicators that I had, which I look back at now and see that it was an indicator, was the microwave. Her microwave was showing signs of being burned, of a lot of burned things inside it, and it started to indicate to me that she was not capable of using that anymore. Also, a lot of burned pans and things like that, which it's a great indicator for you know, kids to look at these types of things and say, okay, we might have an issue with mom's safety, you know, and her ability to use the appliances. My mom was, she was tripping a lot. She was losing her equilibrium. And, one of the things that I would love to pass along to people is if you have someone going through dementia, please get rid of their floor carpets, the little throw rugs, because as you start to lose your coordination, those things become really, really badly. So my mom, she was taking a lot of spills, and I really was questioning what was going on there.
All right. Thanks a lot, Linda. Lots of good points there. And Kathleen, Linda, they're talking about, you know, some of those changes you mentioned. In her case, her mother was not really, you know, behaving the same way she did in the kitchen. Things were getting burned. Is that something to look out for?
Definitely. And I think, you know, I have a personal connection to the disease as well. My mother was diagnosed in the mid-1990s with a form of dementia called Lewy body dementia. And these were definitely the early signs for her, you know, the inability to understand her thermostat in her apartment. It's hot in here. And then I would go and it would be on 85. She didn't understand the concept of turning it down. The microwave, the clock, inability to read time. So definitely that, you know, inability to cook anymore, the inability to plan a menu or to bake something, you know, those are kind of some of the early signs. And with men, it may be they've always been able to take things apart and put them back together. Losing that and that ability as well may be an early sign.
What about personality changes?
That's a good point. And sometimes that is a subtle one, a very subtle. You know, we tend to sort of think of older individuals as probably becoming grouchy and crotchety as they get older, but that really is not the case. And so if somebody has a drastic personality change, somebody who's very compliant, easy to get along with, suddenly they're argumentative, you know, they don't want to go along with anything you have to say, antagonistic, you know, that could be a sign of something. Not necessarily dementia, but that something is going on.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for that call, Linda. I appreciate that. And let's go next to Richard in Manitowoc. Hi, Richard.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Or good evening. I forget if it's afternoon or evening right now.
Kind of halfway between right now.
No wonder. I'm 81 years old, and my son was here today, and I wanted him to put names on the air crews. I flew in the Navy, bomber crew. And we had, we had seven guys on a crew. So I wanted to see if I could put names on those crew members, even my own crew member, my own crew. And there were a lot of those names I couldn't bring back anymore. And that's from Korean War. Is that normal not to be able to remember everybody's names anymore?
All right, that's a good question, Richard. Thank you so much for bringing that up. And I think that's something a lot of people have, you know, trouble remembering names. But is that carry something to be concerned about?
Yeah, many people often experience problem with finding the correct word or a family member. Certainly someone, if you haven't had to place their name in conversation in quite some time, that can definitely be a real challenge for many individuals. And as we know, our body ages and things don't work quite as quickly as they once did with this disease. And so have you been able to find out the information of those other crew members?
Have you thought of it now? I had the information in my head. We had 11 bombers with seven guys on a crew each one, so I suppose I can't remember them all. But
yeah, you can. It sounds like
I can remember some of them.
Crew
members and stuff like that.
And I guess Carrie, I mean, this is a long time ago. This is the Korean War. Is this something to worry about, or this is a lot of years in between then and now?
Yeah, you know, I would just really want to know if there's other things that you're noticing with your memory. Have there been any other interruptions or things that you're having to take more time on, whether it's balancing your checkbook? You know, maybe that used to be an hour-long process of reconciling your bills and statements, and maybe it's taking a little bit more time to solve some of those more complicated tasks. Do you have problems with other family members' names or right word in conversation?
Phone numbers. Sure. I have about 30 phone numbers that I ordinarily use, and now I can't remember them all anymore.
Right. You know, some good strategies when you are having some of those mental lapses is make sure you have a backup plan, whether that's writing down some of your common phone numbers. You know, sometimes we let technology make us a little mentally lazy. You know, we can just find a contact name in our phone and just hit a button, where I know when I grew up, I actually had to punch in the different numbers to our friends and family. And there's some family members I talk to all the time that I don't even know their phone number anymore. So it's up to us to make sure that we're really using what we have for our brain and making sure that it's, you know, kind of the use it or lose it mentality. We need to really task ourselves with some activities to keep that stimulation. So it's great that you're looking through those old war photos, reminiscing about some of those activities. That's all wonderful to do. But until there's maybe one or two other issues, it could just be something that you haven't had to extract in your memory in quite some time.
Well, Richard, I wish you all the best. Thank you so much for calling. And everyone who called, you can also keep the conversation going on the Central Time Facebook page. And Carrie and Kathleen, I want to thank you both so much. Carrie, thanks for joining us.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And if I could just add, you know, we're here for the Alzheimer's Association 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on ALZ.org, which is our website. That's
excellent.
As in zebra. And we also have social workers and nurses available to take the simplest question about this disease or even the most difficult, challenging situation.
And we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time. Kathleen, I want to thank you as well. Thank you. You can call the Alzheimer's Association, 800-272-3900.